your congregation belonging to Christ, not too long ago, one of you made reference to our text that we have before us for this service. Our text, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, is from the Apostle Paul, writing from Corinth to the congregation in Thessalonica, where he had ministered before he went to Corinth. And by the Spirit's leading, the apostle pleads with the church of Thessalonica, finally, brethren, pray for us, meaning Paul and his whole missionary team, and for all who bring the word, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. So I'm saying here, Paul is asking for earnest prayer for the spread and success of the gospel word. And that's the theme of our sermon now, too. It was the context also of that conversation with that person who spoke with me on this verse. He said to me, "Do you think this is perhaps missing in the church at large today? That is fervent prayer that the gospel word may run swiftly and be glorified in our times." For surely today, as perhaps never before, there is so much faithful gospel ministry available. And it's being proclaimed by all kinds of means, through preaching, through sermon audio, and podcasts, and conferences, and endless supply of good books. And yet, overall, the Christian church in the world today seems, in general, so very weak and small. And many hearing the word seem to continue unmoved by it and not transformed in the way of true faith and repentance and godliness. Is this perhaps a timely word then for us here today, also in Calgary now? Oh yes, let us pray, congregation, for all who bring the word, thinking too of our dear pastor Chris, but also for any who sows the seed. And however the word is spread today by God's people, let us pray fervently and repeatedly, as Paul urges in our text, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it happened also in the congregation of Thessalonica. Will you consider this Christian exhortation with me now, under our given theme as mentioned, earnest prayer for the spread and success of the gospel word? Let's follow four main thoughts in line with this theme, namely how this is surely an important exhortation, a searching exhortation, an urgent exhortation, and a blessed exhortation. That it's an important exhortation, we can know from what the Bible teaches us concerning the spread and success of the gospel word. Doesn't the Bible make so very clear, in many places even, that for the spread and success of the gospel word, we are completely dependent on the Lord? When we truly pray that the word may run swiftly and be glorified, Paul means with that not only that we are asking and praying for the almighty extension and steady advancement of the gospel word, but also that it be humbly, heartily received and believed and honestly lived by. As another put it, Paul asks in our text that the Christian congregation in Thessalonica pray that the word advance like a strong runner moving ahead, unobstructed and unhindered, to attain and gain new ground. At the same time, he asks for their prayers that the word be glorified in the lives of the hearers, meaning that it be truly received with proper respect as indeed the word of the Lord, and that so people would accept and affirm it as the saving and life-transforming truth of God indeed. The importance of this plea for prayer for God's blessing on the ministry of the gospel word, that it spread far and wide and that it bear fruit in the way of regeneration and conversion and consecration to God. The importance of this prayer in this regard is the solemn fact, congregation, that except God so grant and bless also all faithful gospel outreach, nothing will come of it. Nothing will come of it. And all our gospel labors will then be in vain. Doesn't Paul say the same in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7, when he admonishes the Corinthian believers who were looking to and who were thinking and suggesting it's all dependent on who's the speaker, how gifted he is, his oratory, his skills for real blessings on the gospel ministry. And Paul asserts in that context, words you well know, I think, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So it's God who does it. Neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's like we are told already in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Well, how the importance of prayer for God's indispensable blessing on all gospel ministry of the word should be realized by us, knowing and understanding it's God who has to bless it, but also why is it God? Because why? Because of our spiritual deadness by nature, everyone, by nature. How is a natural man, yes, including covenant people of God, on their own described in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 37, as the valley of dry bones. In other words, congregation, we can contribute nothing of ourselves for the swift running and the effectual success of gospel ministry here and around the world. But if the Lord accompany it with his spirit, power, and blessing, and make his gospel effectual, oh, then people do become converted and consecrated to God. So we read in Ezekiel 37, as the prophet Ezekiel proclaimed God's word to the valley of dry bones, they came together and became living beings. Therefore exclaims the prophet in verse 10 of that passage, so I prophesied as he, the Lord, commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood from their feet an exceeding great army. Well, besides spiritual deadness, as we learned in our Sunday school hour this morning, adult Sunday school, there's the devil always trying to distract us from the word or have the word be twisted so that it not run swiftly and be fruitful and glorified among us. And there's the alluring world always distracting us and calling us away from the word. The point is, you see with me clearly, don't you? We are dependent on God triune for the spread and success of the gospel. We read in Acts 13, verse 46 to 49, how Paul and his missionary team were so aware of this too. It says there, when Paul was testifying, he's testifying in the gospel ministry to the Gentiles after the Jews were rejecting and despising the word. It says, Paul says there, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And then Luke writes, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. You see, it was God's doing by his power. It's of the Lord whenever God's word is blessed and to whoever it comes. Also that the Lord send forth more laborers for the work of spreading the gospel. That's a blessing from the Lord. Jesus instructs his church in Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But you know what the church often does today? We try to manufacture the laborers ourselves. But we cannot produce faithful laborers, faithful servants of faithful gospel ministry. That's of the Lord and of his Holy Spirit working in people's lives and sending forth more true, faithful reapers for his fruitful harvest. Well, putting it all together, you, You get it with me, don't you? Are you convinced and convicted with me of the importance of this exhortation to earnest prayer for the spread and success of the gospel word? When you and I really think something is important, we come back to it again and again, don't we? Then you and I also make it a priority matter in our life, usually, if it's important to us. Well, thinking here of our own context here in Calgary, Calgary FRC, we still recognize it, don't we, that the Lord has richly blessed us with sending us so soon last year another minister of the gospel to labor here among us and for us in Jesus' name. Will you and I pray and keep praying that the Lord richly and weekly enable him, Pastor Chris, in preaching and pastoring the gospel word in our congregation, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, have free course, unobstructed, and be glorified among us, each one, and that thus also the gospel would run through us and beyond us and be glorified by many others around us by his grace and power and spirit. Let's not fall into the false idea that this just happens by itself. But let's listen rather to Paul's exhortation to pray about this constantly. God doesn't need our prayers, but he's pleased to work through his people praying. And we can only be a healthy Christian and a healthy Christian congregation, ever blessed by the word and truly missionary agents of the word to others, as you and I live in humble, hearty dependency on the Lord, asking again and again that he bless us with his word and make his word to be blessed to us. John Calvin writes fittingly in regards to Paul's words in our text. He says this: though the Lord powerfully aided him, Paul, and though he surpassed all others in earnestness of prayer, he nevertheless does not despise the prayers of believers, and he asks for them, by which the Lord would have us aided. And it becomes us, says John Calvin, after his example, eagerly to desire this aid and to stir up our brethren to pray for us. Dear congregation, how good to pray in this regard, especially each Lord's Day. Oh Lord, as we gather for the worship services today, please grant that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, without hindrance and without obstructions, and let it be glorified among us and in us, even from the youngest to the oldest, maybe for a first time or else for a thousandth time for God's people. And I know for sure this prayer does take place among us regularly by many, but let's exhort and encourage each other more and more to do so. Yes, especially living in the perilous, ungodly last times as we do. Well, hopefully the importance of the calling to earnest prayer has sufficiently been made clear. Let's move next to how this is a searching exhortation. The searching aspect comes out from the text. Let me read to you the whole verse again. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. You see here, Paul mentions how that the word of the Lord not only had wonderfully come to them in Thessalonica, but it was graciously and heartily welcomed and received and believed by them. And the apostle longs for this also back in Corinth and for throughout the world, what he experienced in Thessalonica. And to confirm that indeed the Thessalonians really drank in the word after Paul came to them, look with me in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 1. You can look it up with me and we can read it together. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 1. Listen how the word came to them and was glorified by them. What does Paul write there? 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning at verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Clearly, congregation, do you hear how the gospel did not only come to them in Thessalonica in God's amazing grace, but it was glorified by them in their hearts and lives in God's amazing grace. And so again, Paul writes jubilantly about this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Just one chapter further. And he says this, for this reason, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. You see and hear with me from this how the word of the Lord was not just brought to them, but glorified by them. And how it was received and believed as the word of salvation and the gospel promise of hope and eternal blessing. The Thessalonians received the word as their one hope of escape in an otherwise hopeless, guilty, defiled world of sin and shame, without any redeeming and saving help for anyone to be found from any other source in all the world, not from within us or around us, anywhere, anytime, for anyone. So I'd like to ask you, is this same all our persuasion and testimony too here, you and I in church here in Calgary, FRC? Doesn't every true believer acknowledge with the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. The sinking sand. When this is our confidence and our confession of faith, as was the case with the Thessalonian believers, in word and deed, then we understand, don't we, reasons for earnest prayer, for the spread and success of the gospel word. Because when we receive the word for ourselves, we don't end up saying, well, I was so good, so smart, that I received it. No, the true believer says, Lord, it's just your grace that I came to see it. You showed it to me in a way that I could not come out from under it, and that I realized it's the gospel truth from God. It's the word of the Lord, as the text says. It's the word from God triune, who cannot lie. The point now is, congregation, when the word of the Lord is received and glorified by us, we prize it most humbly and heartily and thankfully, knowing it's on account of God's sovereign grace alone, that we may be, that I may be among the believing, redeemed people of God. And the more this is recognized and acknowledged personally by you and me, won't it stimulate us also to fervent prayer to the Lord that this grace of His might be shown to many more through His word, spreading and being blessed? Is it good to ask, do all of us here show the word of the Lord not only happily brought to us time and again, but sincerely, repeatedly glorified by us, that is, received in faith and repentance and in thanksgiving before God? Could the apostle, here's a good question for us, could the apostle say about us as congregation, as he did to the church in Thessalonica, in reference to the word of the Lord running swiftly to us, that it is also glorified by us, just as it is with you, the text says? Is that true of each one of us personally? Or are you perhaps someone sitting here who, yeah, you hear the word, you even think that's important, but you more or less ignore it. You do your own thing still. You live as you please, really. You're your own Lord and Master of life, and you refuse actually to repent of sin when exposed to it from the Word of God, and you do not really, honestly trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord in line with all His holy Word. Is that you? How many are the church people and religious people in any generation who, as Paul says in verse 2 of our text passage, have not faith? But they're hypocrites still. And at bottom, enemies yet of God's church and kingdom. So it's a searching text we have. It's and a searching evidence of whether the word has come to us truly and is glorified by us, you and me, is that then we also realize the need constantly for the Holy Spirit's blessing on the word, initially and repeatedly. And you so understand then also, even from personal experience, what reasons to pray regularly and earnestly for God's blessings on His Word. And not just for ourselves, but also for so many others. And especially too, for all who bring God's Word. And whenever God's Word is brought to us. Doesn't every true believer learn initially when saved and increasingly when saved, I constantly need the Lord by His grace and Spirit to bring and open the Word to me and to open me to the Word that I might truly understand it, heartily believe it, and unreservedly, wholeheartedly live in submission to it all. Well, is that you and me this afternoon? And when it is so by God's grace, don't we then pray and wish that it would be so for so many others in our families, in our churches, and in our communities? Let no one of us here think all is well with you if such a prayerful mindset is just not part of your life in any degree at all. For it is a God-given fruit of grace when the word is received and glorified by us in our lives. In verse 5 of our text passage, the apostle also gives added meaning to having the word glorified in our lives. Look at that verse. Paul says it'll mean praying continually for God's blessing on His word, ever to direct our hearts into the love of God, meaning both, you might say, His love toward us and our love towards Him, ever to increase in our lives the consciousness of that. Plus also, Paul says, to direct our hearts by His Word and Spirit into the patience and steadfastness or endurance of Christ in God's ways. The text reads literally, now may the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and into the patience of Christ. The apostle writes that in verse 5, and are we ever done with that, congregation, and the need for that in this life by God's Word and Spirit in His grace and mercy towards us? To be directed into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. No, says the true believer. And so, yes, let's be diligent in fervent prayer, exhorted by Paul for his church. Finally, brethren, pray for us, for all who bring the word, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Do you agree with me? What reasons that you and I and all true believers always take to heart? The need for earnest prayer for the spread and success of the gospel word in our lives and to so many others beyond us. Yes, not only considering that this is such an important exhortation and a searching exhortation, but notice next, it's such an urgent exhortation, surely. Do you see in the text how Paul makes it an urgent exhortation? Look how in verse 2, he mentions one of the reasons for fervent prayer is the fact, as Paul expresses, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Here we should remember Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica while laboring in the church of Corinth. And if you know anything about that work in Corinth, it was challenging. And if you read Acts 16, 17, 18, you'll learn more how challenging it was, and much opposition and resistance and rebellion against the word of the Lord the apostle faced. And it's not so much different today, congregation. Yes, both from within the church and outside the church. Not to mention again also from Satan and this ungodly world, always working to destroy the church, or to contaminate it so that it becomes a false church altogether, no longer upholding the word of the Lord. Thinking too of those who are called to bring God's word, we should not underestimate how the devil can work extra hard to bring down gospel ministers in defeat, in dismay, in distraction, in discouragement, in one way or another. How good then, and very encouraging also to the pastor and whoever is the messenger of God's word, to know others are praying for him. Praying that the messenger of God may come with the word of the Lord, and that it may come time and again uncluttered and unobstructed by this or that, and that it be glorified by many and more as the years go by. Isn't it an urgent exhortation too, in view of our present evil day, when God's word, and you know this as well as I do, it's more or less scoffed and scorned and ridiculed, plainly ignored, you could say, and despised and set aside blasphemously and defiantly as just plain meaningless and worthless. A minister, a colleague of mine, recently shared with me while preaching at a wedding just a couple of weeks ago, several of the attendees for the service, they weren't churchgoers at his church, but several of the attendees for the service, you know what they were doing? They were busy watching YouTube movies. Just totally uninterested and unengaged. And I remember when I was still in Chilliwack, I had young people when phones just were starting to come out who were texting each other during church, during the sermon, instead of listening to the word of the Lord. This is our time. This is our nature by nature. How very sad and foolish and wrong that we want to follow the wisdom of man instead of the pure, perfect wisdom of God. It's so foolish. It's so fatal. But let's pray then. Let's pray, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes, for God is able and willing in his sovereign grace and mercy still to break through, congregation, even when it looks so hard and impossible, when people are so interested. Yes, even with him, the hardest of sinners and most rebellious among us or around us, the Lord can make the word be like a hammer and break through, like a sword piercing in conviction unto conversion. Strikingly in this regard, when you read Psalm 12, it begins this way: "Help, Lord, for the ungodly man ceases." Meaning, Lord, there's just nobody. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Meaning, Lord, there's just nobody godly anymore. But in that same psalm, in verse 6, we read this about God's word: "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." And the meaning is something like this: God, by his almighty word and spirit, can still today, even in our perilous times, overcome all the blind and the hostile resistances. Yes, when sovereignly choosing so to bless and prosper his gospel word. And the point is, let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. Indeed, the triune God of salvation, by his word and spirit, in his grace and mercy, it's true, isn't it? He can penetrate into the innermost heart with gospel regenerating power. As long as there's life, there's yet hope, even for the chief of sinners. Think about that and keep that in mind with loved ones who are unsaved. Who would ever have thought it possible that the most vicious hater of Christ and his church and the persecutor of the church, Saul the Pharisee, would become a most humble, faithful believer and a very zealous disciple and missionary of the word of the Lord worldwide? It's like the worst enemy of the Christian church becoming one of the greatest preachers and pastors of the gospel of free and full salvation through Jesus Christ. And this is what God can do and still does. Today is yet the day of salvation for whoever has ears to hear. Therefore, indeed, let us pray, and as Paul urges in our text, for the spread and the success of the gospel word, while God yet freely offers pardon and peace to all who repent of sin and trust and follow him as only Savior and Lord. Let us so pray, not only for the gospel word to come to us and be glorified by us, but that we be instruments in his hands by his grace and spirit, that it goes through us and beyond us to many others, that they too may receive and believe God's gospel word before it's forever too late, when the gospel invitation will never ever be given again. How did the Apostle Paul put this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2? He says there in God's name, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Does anyone among us right now need to hear this sincere call from the Lord to you, even at this very time, through the preaching in your life? The Lord is pleased, especially through the foolishness of preaching, that his word run triumphantly and be glorified, really, for now and forever. And it's a great word, the word of God. Just between church, I read this line that just kind of really moved me. The Bible never offers a drink from shallow waters. The Bible never offers a drink from shallow waters. The world offers many drinks from shallow waters that will leave you thirsting forever. But the Bible always offers drink from the deepest waters you can imagine. The waters of God's truth and love in Jesus Christ from eternity past to eternity future. Oh, therefore, let us pray often and much, as Paul urgently exhorts us to do in our text, that in our times still the word may run swiftly and be glorified, and not just by us, but by countless more, while it's yet the day of grace. And indeed, saying that while it's yet the day of grace, in the broader context of 2 Thessalonians and of all of the letters of Thessalonians, there's another reason why we can say this exhortation is urgent. And that is, both epistles of Paul to the Thessalonians, in every chapter, Paul mentions the second final coming of Christ, and the last judgment that's going to come sooner than later. Both letters to the Thessalonians gives multiple reference to Christ's sudden second coming and how then the day of grace will be over, forever over. While people can and do come to wrong conclusions about the second coming of Christ, as was also the case in Church of Thessalonica, when Paul addresses those issues, even in our chapter which we read, yet the clear emphasis of all Scripture is in view of the climactic second physical final judgment day event of Christ's coming, still to happen, oh, let us be diligent in prayer and care that the word prosper and be glorified while it's yet the day of grace. Well, let's also in that regard take care that we never be the source of the word being hindered. You know, if we live an ungodly life or an inconsistent lifestyle, we can obstruct the word from running swiftly. Don't let that be the case, that you are the reason why the word doesn't run swiftly and be glorified by others. Pray you never be a hindrance to the gospel cause, but a stimulus to it by God's grace and spirit. Well, shall we be about this all, dear congregation, with heart and lips sincere, knowing also what Paul surely implies further in our text. It's never in vain to pray for the Lord to prosper his word. In fact, we can say it's a blessed exhortation, this exhortation in that regard. That's our last point. It's a blessed exhortation, for the Lord's word will never return to him empty or void, Isaiah 55. Even when people remain lost and hardened under the word, then it's still in God's righteous divine judgment upon his word. And God's word is still being glorified, but the people aren't being benefited. Always God's word as it goes out will accomplish that which he pleases. Christ Jesus, as the word made flesh, is the perfect, God-approved, God-blessed Savior of sinners, and he cannot fail to perform his purposes and to fulfill his gospel promises for all his people. And Paul says, whether I preach and the gospel be a savor of death unto death for some, or a savor of life unto life for others, God triumphs, and that's what counts, and that's what we need to pray for. But of course, we look for, especially, that people repent and believe. And how good it is to know that the Lord will bless His word. In the bulletin, I think, Nicole, I think you did that little report about Streams of Blessing, a little book about James Fraser, a missionary to the Chinese in the 19th century. And he worked among the Lisu for years and seemed to get nowhere. And despite all the struggles and troubles, he continued to preach and persevere in prayer, trusting that it is God's work and not his own. And in time, God blessed the work. And you read in the back of that book, his trust was not confounded, because not that long after, the streams of blessing flowed down as gushing waters. God's word will prosper. And it's very good to read missionary stories to help you be prayerful, because God's word prospers. And it's amazing how many stories there are which show this, and they can stir the heart in love and in encouragement for God's cause still today. But it's good to realize in the end, it's not our prayers that become the ultimate reason for the salvation of all God's elect from every tribe and tongue and nation. No, it's always God's sovereign grace and his saving purposes from eternity. But the Lord, again, he works with and by means of the prayers of his people. How many of us will not remember with gratitude the prayers of our parents? Some of you still have your parents. I don't have my parents, but I know they were prayers. Or prayers of friends for us, or family members, for our well-being. That we truly know God, that the word come to us and be glorified by us and in us and through us. Who knows what influence for good we may be on so many others when praying for others, even those we have never met, who we don't know. God calls us to pray for another and for the ministry of his word, and we may safely and most thankfully leave the outcome of our prayers to his all-wise, sovereign good pleasure. And regardless of the outcome of our prayers, in the end, how good and most comforting surely to know and to believe, in the last day, when the last trump shall sound and Christ descends from the clouds, then not one of the Lord's sheep ordained to eternal life will be missing from the redeemed flock of God. And if you say, yeah, but I don't know if I'm one of those, just ask the Lord if you might be, and he will make you one. If you pray earnestly, you will know you are. If you don't care, then you're not. But he's calling you to pray, and you'll find the Lord saves all who seek him. It's a blessed exhortation, too, we could say, because it calls us to earnest prayer. And isn't that a good exercise? Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness to God. We're the best in our life when we're prayerful before God for the success and advancement of his church and kingdom through his word. Let's be a praying people. I think in regards here also of the Reformed Conference we just held this past weekend, what a privilege that we as church also could be part of the organizing committee and participants in attending it for those of you who could come. And again, it's going to be online, so you can hear it down the road if you like. But let's be prayers that the Lord may further bless that ministry of the word of the Lord, given yet to so many, including to many of our youth last night, 175 about. Let's pray, congregation, that the gospel word brought so freely and faithfully to us all may be genuinely and repeatedly glorified by us all, and that we in turn be motivated through that to reach out to others with that same word. Psalm 67, we're going to sing from it after. Let it be our prayer. O God, be merciful and bless, and let us see thy shining face. Why? That all the earth may know thy way, and all men taste thy sovereign grace. O let the nations praise thee, let all give thanks with glad accord. Does this same find an echo in your mind and heart, also hearing this sermon now? In conclusion, when someone asked me just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor, are we as Christian churches today taking heed enough to the exhortation from Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Don't we all have to say, especially as confessing believers, well, we could take heed to it more than we do. There's no doubt about that. Even so, congregation, may God now add his blessing then to this message with its important searching, urgent, and blessed exhortation, calling for earnest prayer for the spread and success of the gospel word. Yes, here and everywhere, wherever the word is brought in our day, here in Calgary and around the world. Will you commit to this too? God helping us? Paul had confidence the Thessalonians would. Oh, may that same confidence be something that we too reflect as right, that we are a people who pray much. Finally, as Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word guiding us in the way we should go. Also, for the extension of your church and kingdom. And we know that when we pray much for this, we will also be motivated to live for God's church and kingdom and to do what we can too to promote the word as you give us opportunity. Lord, help us to believe that as we pray that the word may run swiftly and be glorified here and more and more places around the world. Help us to believe that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The times may look dark and bad, but you are God on the throne with almighty power, and you are still out to honor your Son, Jesus Christ, for all his wonderful, completed, finished work. And you are still gathering in your church. Oh, Lord, then we pray. Hear our prayer as we ask that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified by us and many, many more. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.